Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
I'm Arthur.
And we are kind of closing out our mini-sodes, I think, for you. Our Fantasia Festival coverage, right? I don't think there have been so many movies. I don't think we have another mini episode.
We might do another one of our favorite movies type of thing. Yeah. You know, something like that.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? That would be fun. Oh, God. What if we both try to rank them?
No.
No.
No. It's going to be quick. I said mini-sode, not...
Yeah, I know. Alrighty. So... to kind of wrap up these mini-sodes, at least for the time being, we are talking about Junction Row, which I believe also, this was also a world premiere. Holy shit.
Yeah, of course.
We saw a lot of those this
Fantasia,
year.
Fantasia, man.
Damn.
There's a bunch of world premieres.
Yeah, I think this 30th anniversary really kicked things up a notch as well. Hell honestly. Yeah. Yeah. So this is also a Canadian film. It was filmed in Vancouver, as far as I know.
Right.
Let me read quick synopses for everybody. A veteran recovering from addiction returns to the intentional community she once called home in search of her missing friend, but finds that it has been infiltrated by an otherworldly force.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this film stars Catherine Isabel as Army vet named Juno. She had struggled with substance abuse and had left the community that was kind of enabling her to continue doing this.
And she also left her friend there.
And left her friend. A friend or more than that? Because it sure seemed like there was something else going
on. Well, whatever. Left a person
there. A very person that she's very, very close to.
Yes.
Behind. And then I think it's 8 months later, if I'm not mistaken, returns to look for said friend and to find out like what's been happening in the community.
Because fuckery's afoot.
Oh boy.
Over there.
What the fuck is it ever? This film stylistically is really interesting because it is like a science fiction film. And
it's like a horror sci-fi actually.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it very much has a mix of old and new in it, which is interesting. Like a lot of the reports that you see online, some of the like the advertising and things like that feel very old school, like almost like 60s, 70s style, but then the technology that the people have feels very advanced. Like, did you see how thin like the phones and the tablets were? They looked like they were like a piece of paper almost, like it had that, you know, futuristic sci-fi-ish kind of look to it. So that was really interesting. It does kind of like a bunch of different things, and basically it follows Juno as she meets back up with old friends and enemies to a degree and has to kind of fight her way through this like compound that exists in order to figure out what the fuck happened to her friend and what has been going on in this place
and what's actually going on. Yeah,
because there's a lot going on.
A whole like pharmaceutical company, obviously, you know. Yes. It's a place where drugs happen.
Yes, definitely.
And everything. And there is obviously a company that is trying to take advantage of this by furthering their
addiction issues. Yeah.
With their new drug.
Yes.
That they've made out of weird stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. And when you take it, it really messes you up. And she is trying to understand what the hell is going on and find her friend at the same time. And the things that she uncovers. Holy crap.
Oh, it's wild. There are obviously really intentional choices in the film, of course, to make Juno an army vet makes a lot of sense because she has tactical knowledge. She's able to fight. She kicks a lot of ass in this movie. Catherine Isabel kicks a lot of ass in this movie. And also just strategize a lot of the ways to get in and everything in the first place and to be able to infiltrate, be able to do all of this stuff. So, yeah, there's kind of a lot going on there. To an extent. Now that we've also had a few days to kind of walk away, because I know you weren't super jazzed about this when we saw it. How are you feeling about it now?
Kind of the same. I thought it was okay. I wish it revealed more to me than me having to guess and trying to think too much about what it all means and how it all fits together.
It's so funny because, you know...
Like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
If I think hard enough about it, I get it. Yeah. But feel like it should have been a little bit more obvious because there's still some things that I'm like, what?
Okay. You know, it's weird because I complained a number of episodes ago in Homebodies that I would have wanted to know more earlier.
Right.
And weirdly, in this film, I don't know if it was because of the overall story or what we did find out or when we did find it out.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me in this.
Ah.
I actually quite liked this. I thought it was fun. It kept up like a pretty good pace throughout. I thought that the performances across the board were really good. Like Catherine Isabel is great, but there are especially a couple of folks that are quite like standout in the first place. There's an actor named Kyle Mack, who's a Canadian actor who plays a character named Miles, who's a drug dealer.
Right. Yes.
He's quite the scene stealer, that one. He's very funny and just adds an amount, he's an asshole, but he adds an amount of levity to the story to a degree and like to different scenes where it kind of needs it. Cause this is quite dark subject material. And unfortunately, like it gets darker the further the film goes. So yeah, there's some of that. Overall, I just thought it was like a cool, kind of interesting story. It's co-written, but also directed by Ashley Wessel. Mm-hmm. I think this is her first feature, if I'm not mistaken, which is very fucking cool. It's also co-written by Adam Caesar, who is an author primarily, who has written the Clown in a Cornfield books. If anybody's read any of those, I read the first one. They also had a film adaptation last year of it. That's kind of a fun teen slasher type of vibe that I think now has 4 books out in the series, if I'm not mistaken, maybe with a 5th one on the way. I don't remember. But yeah, it's got a lot of different stuff. So that was really interesting for me to read too, which is kind of cool. But yeah, overall, I don't know what this was. It kind of worked for me. I guess it all just sort of tied up for me pretty well. And I thought it was interesting. There are some bits and pieces that maybe weren't as great. You know, I think there were budgetary restrictions on certain things to do with the visual effects. Some of those got a little bit wonky, which wasn't great. But I feel like I'm much more likely to be forgiving of films like this than I would be of like a Marvel movie.
I mean, yes.
Because I'm like, you have all the goddamn money in the world. Just put more time and effort into it and don't cut things off and try to like penny pinch versus something like this. It's understandable. Lower budget films have difficulty with that kind of things. It's expensive to make a movie. Mm-hmm. So I understand that more.
You're a little bit less of a sci-fi horror fan. I think for me, this is my favorite genre mix ever.
Yes.
So I like it a lot. That's why maybe I'm being a little bit more critical about it.
I think that makes sense.
It's just more, most of the movies that I've seen, they say more. And if they don't say more, there's one that I'm thinking in particular, and it's a French movie. It's called Meander.
I've heard of this. I have not seen it.
Seen it. It is one of those that is also, you kind of not sure what's going on, but there is more revealed throughout the movie that the end of it, even though it's very much kind of like abrupt and weird in a sense, you understand what the hell is going on.
I mean, you also, you know, because you're not opposed to things that are in the sci-fi, like horror thriller genre that are even a little bit slower paced and stuff like that. Like,
no, what's
that movie
that.
Coherence that you love so much? And it's largely conversation that's taking place throughout the course of that film and a couple of really just like unsettling moments here and there.
But again, it's one of those that you understand more throughout the movie of what's happening, you know? So I guess it's more that.
I definitely get what you mean. They're probably, maybe could have been a slightly tighter explanation, guess is how I would describe it, than there was in the film. Overall, I was comfortable with it and kind of how it wrapped up in general, and it definitely has like an open-ended feel to it, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, I liked it. Maybe it's just because there were familiar faces in it too, like a lot of just Canadian actors who I've seen in multiple other projects before. I always love that because it just reminds me of watching things growing up. It's just fun. So there's like a nostalgia to it. But that overall, yeah, I enjoyed it. I did. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I do want to do a little quick highlight of the short film that we also saw with this movie called Bagman.
Oh.
You loved this.
Oh my God, I loved it so much.
So basic premise of this film is that it follows a wildlife team, essentially, like a wildlife observation team, I guess, is what they would be.
I think that's what it is,
I believe that the two filmmakers who were there, they're brothers, and they were inspired by it by their sister, who I think that they said is a field biologist or something like that. So it's a team that basically observes wildlife in different areas through cameras that have been set up in those areas. So they are observing different wildlife, and randomly one night there is a black garbage bag that appears on their footage seemingly out of nowhere. You do not see anyone appear
and
put it down.
Not there, the next frame it's there,
which is very weird because it's taking almost live photos to a degree.
Yeah, it's essentially taking live photos and they're kind of like marking it to I guess name what the data is, right? So there's like, oh, a deer, okay, it's a deer, whatever,
exactly.
Yeah,
to take off and like track the wildlife in the area. And so it follows a character named Nat who's overseeing the camera, and there are interactions between herself, another member of her team who goes to check out what the bag is. And then shit gets fucking weird from there. And there's like a mystery element to it. It's quite unsettling because it's also like a lot of it's at night. So you're like, God, we're in the woods. I don't like it. It did have a lot of different elements to it. I was maybe not super jazzed by what happened at the end of it, but whatever. That's just me.
That's what I like the most about it. It was a very solid jump scare.
Yep.
And the implications of what happens, if you really think about it, it kind of creates, what is it called? Like, what am I thinking of here? Like an effect that keeps happening to every person who experiences this.
Oh.
It's like a recursive thing.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you really start to think about this, it's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting concept and it was very original and cool because we rarely see kind of things like this. So that was really fun. I appreciated that. Yeah. So yeah, that's a fun one too. I'm trying to do this as much as possible so I don't forget about some of the shorts because I've forgotten about a couple of them. And I'm going to try to fit them into a couple of the other episodes for you guys so that you know what they are, because there are a couple that I've even seen on my own that have been fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
true.
All right. So, we'll probably have a couple of other like longer episodes dropping for you sometime soon. We've got a bunch of other stuff coming up, but we're wrapping up all of the Fantasia coverage overall, which is cool. Can't believe that we've gotten here. Can't believe how many episodes we've put out. And then we're going to hold off on a couple of special ones for you before the end of August in order to drop them a little bit closer to when they're actually getting official releases, because there are a few of these that are getting wide releases very soon.
Yeah, in like a month.
Yeah.
Ish.
It's pretty exciting.
I know.
So and there are a couple of really big ones on the way, so that's going to be cool. So we're going to be doing that as well. As usual, follow us on all of our socials. We have all of the new stuff dropping on a regular basis. Whenever there's like a new episode that comes out, whatever else, you'll know about it there. And check out all of our Fantasia coverage and everything else we have going on over on the website at gravetonepod.com, which will have its own Fantasia section dedicated to all of our coverage here. So you can check everything out in one place.
But that's right.
Until next time, guys, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.